You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Sean Broderick, senior editor at WeissRatings.com. He's speaking to us from Florida. Happy New Year and welcome back.
Happy New Year, and Happy New Year to all your listeners as well.
Cameco has suspended a project in Kazakhstan, a major uranium producer. Any impact on the uranium market?
That explains a bit why those stocks are rocketing. I mean, Uranium Energy Corp's up more than 10% as we talk here. UR Energy and the other ones. I should point out that on this news, Cameco is also higher, which just goes to show, because as they suspend projects, that means that the uranium they already have becomes more valuable. That's one of the things that often drives investors crazy, but we've seen it time and again in this market. And so I like the new producers that are bringing mines online now or in the next couple of years. I have a chart of it that I put up in my presentations. And I think those are the ones that are really going to do well. I mean, I think people who like talk about, you know, super high uranium prices are wrong, but we see a steady rise in demand from all these utilities that are building nuclear power plants around the world. And so that is going to have to be dealt with. And so it looks like steady upward pressure on the longer-term contract prices. Now, what we saw at the end of 2024, and I hate to send your listeners, you know, reaching that far back in their brains. It does seem like a month ago, right? But it just happened. But what happened then was there were people squaring accounts, and some speculators had to sell uranium into the spot market. They had to. There was no other way to do it. And so that sent uranium prices, spot uranium prices, into a mini crash. Don't expect that to last long. And I expect to see higher prices in the spot market to match what's going on in the contract market early this year.
What's going on with gold?
Oh, well, good things there. Gold is one of my top picks for 2025. Some people won't know that gold outperformed the S&P 500 last year. And I expect it to do well again this year. Now, it would be nice if gold miners went along hand-in-hand with gold. That hasn't happened yet. The metal outperformed the miners, which shows the incredible negativity that's in this market right now. Now people are negative for some good reasons, you know. I mean, there are producers who got hit with cost inflation and like stuff like that. So, you know, they had reasons to be squeezed. But I think that we are going to see select stocks, anyway, do extraordinarily well this year. I have a list that I'm sending out to subscribers to Resource Trader, a list of hot gold stocks. You know, we'll put some in the regular portfolio, but those are stocks people can jump on anytime as long as they have, you know, patience and a time frame. But I think if they buy them now or a year from now, they're going to feel very happy indeed. I'm quite eager to buy more gold miners. We took a whole bunch of gains, but it's time to move back into them again.
Are you a believer that the stock market goes the way it goes in the first 2 weeks of the year?
No. It's, you hate to hear people say this time it's different, and it's true that that has held before, but it doesn't necessarily have to hold. For example, we normally have a Santa Claus rally. Didn't have one this year. That's because when Trump was reelected, that pulled forward the energy you would see in a Santa Claus rally to early November. And then everything went up in early November and then just kind of went sideways and then slid downward toward the end. So those old adages don't have to work all the time. I mean, because things do get different. So money moves around differently and stuff like that. Now, one thing to consider is that since the broad stock market has rallied more than 20% 2 years in a row, it becomes more difficult for it to do that in a third year simply because of valuation. What we can look for, though, is that during this recent sell-off, a lot of good stocks got thrown out with the bathwater. You know, I mean, they got sold hard despite the fact that they're great companies with lots of cash flow. Cash flow is something that I would really focus on, by the way, if anyone's looking at stocks right now. You want companies that are earning cash flow in this environment, especially if inflation goes higher, which is a potential. We do have the potential for higher inflation, which would suck, but that could happen. So my point is that we had this sell-off for like 3 weeks in the markets, and that's actually brought some great stocks, if not down to cheap valuations, at least reasonable valuations. And so I think people should start stock picking right now. In fact, I just made a recommendation to Resource Trader, I think that I'll be making a lot more. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff to be buying right now, not just gold, not just uranium stocks. There's plenty of stuff to look at, and people should definitely not be scared by the market at this point. I know the market looked scary, you know, and it went through like three really tough weeks. And if you look underneath the headlines, I mean, the S&P 500 went down like 3.5%. But the equal weight S&P went down nearly 7%. So there were 10 pole stocks holding up the major indexes. And if you weren't holding those, if you were holding some more speculative stocks, well, you had your head handed to you. And so people looking at their portfolios right now should not feel bad. You know, I mean, it was a rough time for just about everybody. But it shouldn't be, even though we got our fingers burned, we shouldn't be afraid to get cooking again. There's plenty of stuff to do, and I think that after a sell-off like we saw, this is a good time to start looking at stocks.
Is AI still a big darling, or are people now going to demand or expect results from buying so much AI-oriented stock?
That's a difficult question to answer simply. I think certain AI names are done. But I also think that those AI companies that can leverage AI and not just go up because AI is the latest thing that they're talking about, but they can show results. We're using AI to do this, and it's really helping us a lot. I think those have a lot more upside. Those are the kind of AI stocks I'm looking for. So I think that, and of course, NVIDIA. I mean, we took fantastic triple-digit gains on it. It pulled back. We bought it again. It's up again. I'm not selling it anytime soon. It really seems to be at the heart of the AI revolution. We're still early stages in this new tech supercycle. And AI will be a winner, maybe not the big winner that it has been before, but it will be a winner. But there's plenty of stuff that will do extraordinarily well. One thing I think people should look for is cybersecurity names, many of which have been under pressure. But one thing to keep in mind is the better AI gets, then the easier it will be for crooks to use AI to steal your money. And so cybersecurity is going to step into the forefront this year. It has to. And so I think people should be looking at the cybersecurity names as well.
AI versus AI?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we will see that. Just dealing with crooks, we'll see that on the battlefield. We're seeing that on the battlefield in Ukraine now. They're certainly planning that for the coming dust up with China over Taiwan, which is probably going to happen. Hey, I'll give you that forecast too. We're going to see some kind of a conflict with China over Taiwan by the end of the year. And it doesn't have to be a shooting war, but it'll be a war where people are worried about a shooting war. And the reason is because despite its best efforts, China really hasn't been able to get its economy moving again the way that it was. You know, it just seems to be stuck in a swamp for all sorts of reasons. One reason might be capital flees a totalitarian country where it's not treated well and goes somewhere else. I think that's one of the reasons. But in any case, it is an authoritarian society. And if it's authoritarian society can't provide economic benefits, and it's going to look for some other way to stir up people's loyalties and make them think about something else besides the fact that, you know, their economic straits are getting worse and worse all the time. That's why I think even though it's not the right thing to do, China will choose some kind of a conflict over Taiwan, whether it's a blockade, whether it's, refusing to deal with companies that sell to Taiwan, whether it's massive hacking. I know China hacks things all the time now, but I mean massive scale hacking, trying to weaken Taiwan. So we're going to see some kind of conflict by the end of this year, and a lot of that has to do with the fact that the Chinese economy isn't performing. Now, China's economy could pick up, but in a age of rising tariffs, which is what we're going to see, you know, that's not a good environment for China either. So definitely keep your eyes on that. That's a hot spot. I expect to see a lot more attention sometime this year.
Well, it just reminds me when Argentina had economic problems back in the early 80s, they invaded the Falklands to take their, you know, the minds of their citizens off their economic crisis.
Boy, that is a callback. You know, I once went to look at a gold project down in Argentina, which was a fantastic project, by the way, and got bought by somebody, though I'd have to go track down what happened to it. And the town that we stayed in before heading out into the field was the town that Argentina used to launch the invasion of the Malvinas or the Falklands or else whatever you want to call it. And just, you know, it was a tiny town, a seaport in the middle of nowhere. That part of Argentina is really middle of nowhere. So, yeah, I mean, Argentina was going to great lengths to distract from how bad things were. And they said, we'll just kick the British out. What are they going to do? Well, you know, that's the whole thing about making moves like that, which just brings us back just to touch on China. China is very smart people. They will game out what they think will happen. But if you get into any kind of a conflict, there's no way to know what will happen. The old saying goes that any battle plan never survives first contact with the enemy. And so that could make things really wild later on this year.
Now, has Taiwan threatened to blow up all their computer chip factories if the Chinese invade?
I'd have to go back and look at that story. I think they said they can make their technology unusable if China invades. I'm not sure what that involves. Whether it's, you know, they can put in some code and it just bricks entire factories. I don't know how that's going to work, but that's one of their threats. But China wouldn't be invading them to get the chip factories. They'd be invading them because their economy sucks and they need to distract people. And patriotic jingoism is a great way to distract people. That's what would happen.
We'll have more with Sean Broderick right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Sean Broderick. What's going on the cryptocurrency front?
I've been taking gains, so I'm not actually bullish on crypto right now. Well, I am. We also hold some other crypto positions. What am I saying? Here's the thing, is that for much of last year, crypto traded in a range, not that wide of a range, actually, until suddenly it broke out to the upside. We saw a huge surge, and now I think it needs to digest those gains. So it wouldn't surprise me to see crypto range-bound for a while. Now, I could be completely wrong. In fact, I just saw someone roll out a $225,000 price target for Bitcoin this year. Maybe that'll happen, but I wouldn't be surprised to see things sit for a while. So that's a great example of, you know, it did well toward the end of last year. Maybe it's not time to chase it. Maybe it's time to look at other things that, well, let me give you an example of something that's doing surprisingly well, natural gas. Wasn't that the doormat for like all of last year? It really was. But now prices are picking up now that Ukraine has shut down that last Russian pipeline that went across its territory. And, of course, what's the Russian reaction to that going to be? The market never seems to forecast what the reactions would be. If I was Russia, and thank God I'm not, but if I was, what I'd do is I'd start blowing up Ukrainian oil and gas infrastructure. You know, they have nothing to lose at this point. their natural gas isn't going across Ukraine anymore. That's going to cause more stress in the market. We'll have to see what happens there. I like oil and natural gas, and this is now some of your listeners who were around this time last year are probably saying, oh boy, this is Charlie Brown with a football again. Because I do get bullish on it and then have, you know, things kind of go awry. But the companies I'm in are ones that pay nice. They pay nice dividends, which means we are paid to wait. They are growing production. They're growing cash flow. They're keeping CapEx under control. If you're in those stocks, I mean, some of the valuations in the sector are just great. Really, really nice. So I think that's an area people should be looking at right now.
Anything going on in the cannabis front?
No. thing is that it seems like a sleeping giant. Actually, there was one piece of news in that PharmaCann defaulted on its leases with IIPR, which owns a bunch of cannabis grow houses around the country, and it rents those to the owners on a leaseback thing. It also funds the loans. IIPR, which is Innovative Industrial Properties, which is a REIT. It's a medical cannabis REIT. It owns grow houses, which it leases strictly to medical marijuana growers, which you think would be a little protectiveness. But PharmaCann defaulted, and it has 11 properties. Now, it did pay the rent on 5 of those properties, didn't pay the rent on 6. But I was looking at a note from an analyst in the sector, and he said, PharmaCann really wants out of one of its, just isn't working out for it. So it tried withholding payments on like 6 leases in order to get some leverage. And then IIPR came right back and said, oh, ho, well, then you're on default on all of the leases. Now, this is 17% of IIPR's revenue, you know? So it's in the interest of both companies to work something out. And I expect something to be worked out there much sooner than later. But what it brings to mind to me is that cannabis was seen as a golden goose of like just gushing cash, and the states especially treated it that way and taxed those things to the point where prices are going lower and lower. I don't know if this is happening in Canada, but it's certainly happening in the U.S. Prices are going lower and lower because marijuana is a weed and it grows like a weed. And so, you know, it's just come down and down. And so a lot of these companies are cash strapped. And so we seem to be hitting some kind of a fulcrum here where things are really going to have to work out or not work out badly. So I wouldn't be a buyer of the cannabis space right now. There might be some bargains. There might not. I just see more bargains elsewhere. Now, you can buy something and make a complete fool out of me. That's fine because I'm not looking at it right now. They always say, look at things when the town's on fire. And it certainly seems that, like, you know, Weed Town is on fire right now. But it can get worse. I might start looking at things when we see someone go bankrupt, which wouldn't surprise me to see a U.S. producer go bankrupt this year, or else at least have a restructuring is much more like it. Not like the entire company goes bankrupt, but it's going to have to restructure. And so that might then bring the focus on the taxes and stuff. Maybe they get some adjustment in that, and we'll have to see how that goes. So I'm not a buyer now, but it is an interesting sector and one to keep your eye on. And there might be a chance to buy later on in the year. I just don't think right now is the time.
Sean, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you very much. It's been a great time, and best wishes for a happy, healthy, and wealthy 2025 to all your listeners.
My guest has been Sean Broderick, senior editor at WeissRatings.com. If you have any questions for Sean or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of How Street Media Incorporated.